Hey, folks, this is Larry Herbeck's Fox Live's Major Nelson, and this is show number 210. I'm recording this on Sunday, February 4th, 2007. It is, of course, if you're in North America, you know what today is, and that is Super Bowl Sunday. If you're not from North America and you don't know what Super Bowl Sunday is, well, I'll put a link up on the blog, but it's basically a big American football game that some require as the biggest day of the year for television advertising. There's a good link up at, where is it, Ars Technica? I think that's where it is, which kind of talks about some of the cool tech behind behind the Super Bowl, you know, the different technology with the cameras up in the air and so forth. So I'll put a link off to that because it was actually a really interesting read. I read it a couple times. So I think I highly recommend that for you. So, but anyway, it's good to be back. I was away last week. My last show was just a couple of weeks ago. I was away last week. I went down to Florida. My family's in Florida, specifically my mom is in Florida, so I spent some time in central Florida. My wife had some business to do down there, and so I kind of tagged along with her for her business. She works, and it was fun because she got to do a really kind of an interesting thing. She does a lot of work with Walt Disney World, so she had to go down to do some Disney events. And let me just tell you, folks, right off the bat, if you've never been to a party before, the only party you need to go to is a Disney party at a theme park. It's fun. It's mind-blowing. It is absolutely mind-blowing. Imagine being in a theme park of the size of Disney with only like 1,000 people. I mean, it's just phenomenal. So it was a blast. The only thing that wasn't a blast is one night we were there, it was 28 degrees. Gosh darn it, it was cold. I didn't go down there, but one of the funniest things was we were riding one of the rides at one of these parties one evening. And behind us in this ride, I don't remember what ride it was, one of these rides in Fantasyland, and behind us was the voice of Goofy. And he was, you know, he was obviously, when he talks normally, he doesn't sound like Goofy, but when he gets into his Goofy voice, so he basically was just giving me a running commentary through the entire ride with, peppered with some fun little comments. Fortunately, I didn't have my, or unfortunately, I did not have my recorder, so I would have recorded the whole thing. Anyway, so I was away, went to see my mom. You know, mom, one of the biggest problems when I go see my mom is she's always buying strange things, like, various things I have to help her out with electronically. She wanted me to get her a DS this year, so I got her a DS so she can play Brain Age. So my mom's playing Brain Age. Also got our Harmony remote, which is just a great remote if you need to control a lot of your things, make sure you go take a look at the Harmony remotes because they're great little devices. All right, so let's move on. One of the biggest news in the past week, whether it's Xbox related or not, was the release of Vista, which is the new version of Windows from Microsoft, the other part of campus that I work on. So that was kind of a big deal. So later on in the show, I will have an interview with Rich Wickham. And Rich works in games for Windows. And I mentioned on my last show a couple of weeks ago if you guys would be interested in some games for Windows stuff, and it was kind of a 70% yes and 30% no. But I figured with the launch of Vista, I might as well get him in here because he really had some good stuff to say about games on, obviously, the Xbox 360, games on Vista, and kind of how the two are going to come together in certain areas. So we'll talk to Rich a little bit later on. Also, I have a special guest, Ozymandias, Andre, who runs the Ozymandias blog. Andre works in the, he'll explain to you what he does, but he's a fascinating individual, and I was able to grab him for a half hour a couple days ago to talk to him for the show this week. So thank you, Andre, for coming by. But Vista was a big release this week. There's actually a contest. I don't know if you know this. There's a contest that you can win. Somehow it's related to Windows Vista, where if you win the contest, you can actually go into space. They'll shoot you into space. So, again, put the links. I'll put all the links related to this conversation up on the blog. And we'll, then hopefully if you win, you can go to space. That'd be kind of cool. Also, on Xbox.com, there's a good article on Xbox 360 and how it works with Windows Vista and kind of some of the things that you can expect from that. So you should go ahead and take a look at that. Of course, if you have the Ultimate Edition, then you probably should definitely check this out. But did you see the comic that the Penny Arcade guys put up about the naming of Windows Vista? Boy, is it... I actually find it kind of confusing. I really don't even understand all the different flavors. But anyway, up on Xbox.com, there's a good article about the Live Anywhere, Vista Gaming, parental controls, and so on and so forth. So go ahead and take a swing at that when you get a moment. Also, this week, past week, for the launch of Vista, Bill Gates, who's been on my show in the past, Bill went on The Daily Show with Jon Stewart, and you should probably go ahead and take a look at that video up on the MSN Soapbox. It's you'll see him kind of walk up. walk off. So I'm still haven't, you know, for I actually have one of my machines, one of my computers, laptops working on Windows Vista, the ThinkPad, and it works fantastic. But they haven't, they, you know, the Vegas folks and don't have Vegas rewritten. Vegas is what I use to produce my weekly show. They don't have it rewritten for Vista yet because Vista, there were some low, what they call low-level changes in some of the driver architecture. How geeky was that? In some of the DirectX stuff. So, so it's, I'm not doing any of my production on Vista yet, but hopefully I will be sometime in this in soon. What is going on here? Here's an interesting thing that I saw break a few days ago. Was there was an article posted about the Xbox 360 and how it fares as a DVD player. And I'm going to try to get, I think Albert is probably the right person to talk to. I'm going to try if I can get Albert on maybe sometime in the future to come on and talk about that a little bit. So that's something else. Also, there was a little article posted by Big VIP, who if you're familiar with the show, Big VIP works over in the PR department and marketing department. And he posted something about achievements and how, you know, purchasing achievements through Marketplace and kind of what there's some confusion around that. So there was some good conversation around that. And so he posted that up on the Gamerscore blog. And again, I'll put a link off to that. So, but I tried to get him on the show and I even linked off to it from a post this week. And he, you know, I said, hey, I'll try to get him on the show. Well, unfortunately, he went down to the Super Bowl. So he went down to the Super Bowl, and I wasn't able to get him on. But if you're still interested, I would, you know, I'll probably get him on maybe next week when he's back. But I just want to let you know that I'm going to do what I can to get him on. He's always welcome on the show. And he called me from Miami, and he said, "Hey, I'd love to come on, but I'm down here." He actually took a few days off; he's not working down there. I'd love to come on the show, but I'm going to be down here. And I didn't want to do anything over the phone. I wanted to get them together. So we'll do that. In the meantime, I'm going to make a post. And I've been thinking about this for a while. So I figure I'll just throw it out there now. I want to write a top 10 commandments of the marketplace in terms of for everyone to kind of understand what the policies are. So what I want to do is I want to push back to the community and say, hey, guys, if you were to write 10 commandments, and let's be serious here, top 10 commandments of marketplace, what would they be? What would the top 10 commandments of the marketplace, you know, thou shall not allow people to purchase Gamerscore, whatever it is. I want you to write your own. So go ahead and write them up. Let me know. I'm putting a challenge out to you. And in the meantime, I'll see if I can write some as well. But I want to kind of challenge you guys for that. So top 10 commandments or the 10 commandments of marketplace, not the top 10 commandments. Can you imagine if the 10 commandments were top 10 commandments? Wow. So there's my challenge to you, the community. What am I playing? I am playing and cannot stop playing Crackdown. I got the green light and got the green disc, meaning the final disc, the gold disc that I can play, and I'm having a great time with that. Don't know what else you want me to say about it. I mean, you guys are playing the demo. The demo is fantastic, and it really, really gets you going and interested, and kind of feel the excitement around the game. But wow, that game is just it's just so deep, and it's so good and so well done. It's so cool to just kind of get your character leveling up and so forth. So I'm having a great time with Crackdown. As soon as I'm done recording the show, I'm going to run back downstairs and play it some more because I really want to continue playing that. So I look forward to playing co-op with some of you guys. Also, there's an interesting site out there. It generates an achievement unlock link. A little graphic. So what you do is you go to this site and you plug in what you want it to say, and it will say, like, you know, achievement unlocked, blah, blah, blah. But I must tell you guys, and I don't know who has written this. Maybe hopefully you're a listener to the show. But actually, the graphic you're using is wrong, because if you remember, the graphic that pops up is a trophy. So I actually have that graphic. So if you want it, whoever's doing that site, contact me and I'll see if I can get you that graphic. But anyway, you go over there and you can type in your text, and all of a sudden you just hit generate and it pops up a little achievement unlocked text. So it's kind of cool. So go ahead and take a look at that. All right. So I talked about at the top of the show. Actually, before we get started, I want to talk about the OXM podcast. The OXM podcast was posted a couple of days ago, this past week on Friday. And I actually make an appearance on it. They're doing an award show for 2006. Hey guys, it's February. You should have done this in January. But regardless, they're doing an award show, which is just a lot of fun, and I make an appearance on it. So I think I was on last Friday's show, and I'm going to make an appearance on the next Friday show. So when you get a chance, download the OXM official Xbox Magazine podcast. Ryan and the crew over there just do a great job with it. So I want to thank you guys for having me on that. But all right, so on the top of the show, I talked about who I've got for special guests today. And I consider that was kind of first act. I kind of think of this show broken up into three acts. The first act is kind of Xbox news and kind of technology news and whatnot. The second act is where I usually have an interview, and then the third act is where I kind of ramble about technology. So the second act, here we are. Gaming on Vista, and I was able to get Rich Wickham in, and Rich is, he's been around the company for a while, but he was great to talk to us about Gaming on Vista. All right, so this past week, Windows Vista shipped, and Windows Vista is, as you may or may not know, is the next version of Windows. And I have with me Rich Wickham, who works on games for Windows. Hey, Rich.
Larry, how are you?
I'm good.
Excellent.
So you're the games for Windows guy.
I am one of many folks here at Microsoft working on games for Windows. That's right.
And what I wanted to get you on here because, as I just said, Vista just launched this week. Were you at any of the activities?
I was at a bunch of our games-related activities over the last couple of weeks. First at CES, and then we had some showcase events in San Francisco and New York last week.
What is a showcase event for those people that are new?
It is focusing on all the great stuff that we're doing for games, particularly on Vista.
And how do I get there if I'm just a public person?
Well, the best way to get there if you're a public person is to look at some of the coverage, because that was for the press.
Got it. So it's a press event.
Exactly.
That's right.
Just should I have been more clear?
That's what I'm doing here for you. So Vista launched, and one of the key things I noticed is that games is like everywhere. Like, games is like one of the cool things in Vista amongst all the other features. How many features are there? There's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds.
Hundreds and hundreds and thousands, yes. In fact, I came from the Windows team, and in the Windows team, we were tracking thousands of different things that folks were working on to improve or make changes in Vista over XP.
So before we get into all this, I want to talk about that. You just said you came from the Windows team.
That's right.
So, but right now, your boss is Peter Moore.
Peter Moore is my boss, and a year ago today, actually, today is the anniversary, we brought the Windows games folks from a bunch of different teams over here to sort of take advantage of all the great stuff that the Xbox team has done, as you know.
Right.
Since you've been here since the beginning, the Xbox team has really done a wonderful job of creating a great organization with a lot of great folks like yourself and others that really support the platform and do a really good job of making sure people know about all the great stuff that's going on Xbox and Xbox 360. And we wanted to be a part of that. So about a year ago, Peter and I had sat down and we figured out a way to make it happen, and we brought about 100 people over from Windows to be a part of this organization.
To be part of the Xbox. I mean, let's be clear. I mean, it's not like, you know, Windows is the other gaming platform. Give me some of these numbers around games for Windows.
Yeah, I absolutely will. You know, I think it's funny because I think people don't think of Windows necessarily as a gaming platform. At least they haven't in the past.
Right.
And that's what we're here to fix, right? And that's one of the things that we're really focusing on with Vista. So there are hundreds of millions of folks around the world who use Windows today.
Right.
And there are 55 million or so consumers that the analysts say are going to buy Windows Vista this year.
Right.
More than 10 million of those folks are probably going to buy it with gaming in mind. So there's a lot of folks that are not just Windows gamers, but that are thinking about Vista as a Windows gaming platform.
So and there's always been this, as you know, there's always been this kind of dichotomy of, are you a console gamer or are you a PC gamer?
I think that's a myth, man.
Why is that a myth?
Well, you know, our research shows that it's a myth, in fact. And so more than 70% of the folks who play on console also play on PC and vice versa. And actually, when it comes to Xbox 360 gamers, it's even a higher percentage of Xbox 360 gamers who play some kind of games on their Windows PC. So it's in many ways, it's the same folks.
All right, wait a minute. Before I get going here, I always ask this of my guests.
Bring it on.
What's your gamer tag?
Denny Crane.
It is not.
It is.
Is it?
It is.
Okay, right on.
Do I get some credit for that?
That's kind of cool.
Not a bad one.
That's kind of cool.
If you see me playing on Windows, since we're not quite up and ready on live, you'll see me under Karma Police usually.
Okay. Okay, you'll have to send me links to that so I can post those up there and
sure.
You'll be getting messages. But you're in charge of games for Windows. There's a lot of elements around this, and I've noticed over the past year since you moved over that games for Windows has this cool new look.
Yeah,
I want to talk about. I mean, the MBAs would call it branding.
Yes, they would. That's right. In fact, we had a room full of MBAs help us come up with that branding. That's right. But in fact, I'd say you say cool new look. We really never really had a look before.
Okay.
When gaming was always just one of the many things that you did when you had a Windows machine, and we didn't really focus on it as a core scenario. And so one of the ways that you can do that and get that sort of out in front of people is to create a, like you say, a brand, and that's the Games for Windows brand.
And what does that brand mean to me? I mean, we all know what the Xbox brand is. You have some Xbox games up here. When you go in, you You see the Xbox logo, and it's white, got a white stripe across the top. So what is? Well, how does that translate to the PC space?
Well, that's exactly the kind of message we're trying to get across with the Games for Windows brand. So I think a lot of your listeners, who a lot of them will play games on their PCs, know that sometimes the games experience on Windows is not what it could be sometimes.
And why is that?
Well,
you've been doing this for a long time. So
I have been doing this for a long time.
So why? What is the? You know, I don't want to point fingers at the not individual people or issues, but what is like the what are the top five reasons or top one?
There's really only one reason, and that is that the Windows platform is an open platform. We put all the tools in the hands of developers, and they're allowed to do whatever they want and release whatever they want.
Right.
What that has led to in the case of gaming is
chaos.
Yeah, sure. There you go. a variety of experiences, some good, some bad. And what we're trying to do with the Games for Windows brand and all of the support that we're putting behind it is at least guarantee a baseline experience that's really positive.
Okay.
And so if you see a box like Company of Heroes, Lego Star Wars, or any of the number of games.
Do you have any of those in here?
I do have a couple of them around here somewhere. Let me see if I can dig them out.
All right. No worries.
But in any event, so the box looks a lot like an Xbox 360 box.
Right.
That was not a mistake.
Right.
We spent a lot of time trying to create something that was really unique for Games for Windows, but that really tied to what we're doing with 360.
So I go in, and what does that mean? When I go in and I look at a box and I say, oh, it has a Games for Windows on the top as opposed to one that maybe doesn't.
Right.
What am I getting?
Well, so we're gonna stand behind that game from a Microsoft perspective, but also from the developer and publisher's perspective to tell you that that game is going to install easier than it might have in the past. It's going to take advantage of a bunch of the features in Vista, like the Games Explorer parental controls. It's going to support the Xbox 360 controller if it's the kind of game that you would use a gamepad for. It also will do a bunch of stuff in the background that you might not realize, but that actually make your experience a lot better, like support 64-bit architectures, support widescreen.
So Lego Star Wars supports 64-bit?
Woot. It sure does.
Okay.
But that's important because, there are a lot of 64-bit machines out there today.
Right.
A lot of people are going to buy 64-bit versions of Vista, and it's important that they have no compatibility issues.
So you're kind of getting this, as you said, a baseline quality.
That's right.
And so that's kind of cool. So we get it. There's a new brand, Games for Windows. You got the cool, you got the cool new look and little bit of consistency, it sounds like.
Exactly. And then the other thing that goes along with that is that we're creating a space in all of the stores that you would expect to find games that is the Games for Windows space. So, like, you think about where you go to a GameStop and there's the Xbox 360 section. There's a big banner. It's hard to miss.
Mm-hmm.
You go in there. There's an interactive. You can play the game. You can check it out before you buy it. And then, it helps you kind of decide whether you want to buy the game. And turns out it actually help sell games.
Right.
We never did that for the Windows space. And so when you walk into most GameStops today, you will see that Games for Windows branding already, and we're rolling that out across the U.S.
So they're going to have kiosks.
There will be about 1,000 kiosks in the U.S. this year and about 9,000 total retail locations. So at all the places that you typically would go buy your games, you'll see an Xbox 360 section. You'll see a Games for Windows section.
And the PS3 and the Wii and all
that. And some other guys,
Well. So I want to talk about why should I upgrade to Vista? I mean, I'm upgraded to Vista. I've talked about that in the past. But for somebody who's just tuning in and says, I don't need that, let's talk about some of the gaming scenarios specifically.
Right. So as I said before, gaming's always been something that folks have done on the Windows platform. And, actually most games are still developed on the Windows platform, as it turns out. But Vista, really, when we started planning for it 3 or 4 years ago, we realized that we wanted to focus on gaming as one of the core scenarios. Our own research shows that gaming is one of the top three scenarios that people, consumers, use their PCs for.
Right.
But we hadn't really done a lot in the operating system to support that. And so we really kind of stuck a stake in the ground and said there's three things we want to make much, much better in Windows Vista.
Okay.
The first one is we got to find a place where you go and find your games, right?
So that's the Games Explorer.
That's the Games Explorer.
What is that? What is that exactly?
Yeah, it is the place where you find, organize, learn more about your games, where you can find your saved games. It really solves a lot of the problems that you've seen on XP and other versions of Windows where you load a game, it's in your C drive somewhere, your save games are somewhere else.
It's just scattered all across your drive.
It's scattered all across your drive. Now, here in Vista, you go to the start menu, there's a like pictures, documents, games. You click on games, it opens into a games folder, and all your games are right there.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, a big step forward, I think. I call it the console in Vista.
Okay.
It's the games console built right into Vista.
And then, so part of, the other part of that is, you said, is the parental controls.
That's right.
And so we all know parental controls from the Xbox 360. We've got world-class parental controls.
That's right.
What kind of controls are in Vista?
Well, so there's a really rich set of parental controls in Vista, and it really goes beyond what's in the 360, but that's because Windows machines do a lot more things than Xbox 360 does.
Right.
It's a PC. That's right. And, you know, one of the first things I'd say about parental controls is it sounds like a bad thing, parental controls. It's really a great thing from my perspective for a lot of reasons is, you know, first of all, you don't have to use them. It's a user's decision whether they want to use them. And then once they decide that they want to use them, there's a lot of different things that they can choose to either allow or not allow based on, you know, whatever their preferences are. So access to the web, access to specific games based on rating, time limitations. There's also some reporting on activities that happen for other users.
So let's be clear. So when we talk about parental controls, it's not just specific can, like on the Xbox where you can, you know, yes, your son or daughter can play this game that's rated this. You're actually talking there's a lot more going on.
There's a lot more going on because, like I said, there's a lot more going on your PC.
On your PC.
Basically. And then the other thing is, I'm a gamer. I have a very, very young daughter. I'm not too worried about her playing games on her PC yet.
Right.
But knowing that she's going to want to do that, having Vista and having parental controls is a big deal. But even for folks who aren't parents, you know, the other thing is I have a pretty nice, expensive machine at home.
I want to talk about that in a minute.
And you want to talk about my expensive machine?
I want
to
talk about your rig.
You're not allowed near it anyway. but nothing drives me crazier than when somebody uses my machine, I come back and it's configured somewhat different, or they've downloaded something that I didn't want on the machine or anything else. And so I use parental controls at home to make sure that I know what happens on my system, not from a parent's perspective,
right.
but from a machine owner's perspective.
Right, so it's a control.
Yeah, I think it's outstanding.
No,
it really has helping me make sure my machine is in the condition I want it to be in.
And you're dealing with somebody who just spent a week at my mom's house in Florida trying to clean up her PC.
Dude, every year, my mom lives in Florida too, how about
really?
That?
Really?
Yeah, and every year we go back at Christmas and I go to my mother-in-law's and my parents, and the first thing I do is I sit down in their PC and I just start stripping out all the stuff that somehow found its way onto their machine.
And isn't that kind of wild? Because, you know, working at Microsoft, I have this conversation with a lot of people that work here. You know, we're clearly working at Microsoft, which is a tech company, one of the largest tech companies, and we're the tech geeks in our families.
Yeah, that's right. We're the tech support.
We're the tech support 24/7,
yep.
365.
Yep.
And
that's
so,
right.
So I totally get that. So I did something very similar with my mom's PC, and she was talking about Vista, and I was thinking exactly like that. How can I lock this down or at least protect it more?
Yeah, no, that's right. And there's a lot of things built right into the operating system that let you do that. And so, great for parents, wonderful set of tool for parents. But
it gives a new spin to the term parental controls.
Yeah, that's right. exactly. But, you know, for just for folks who want to just have a little bit more control of what happens on their system, great security in Vista, and then on top of that, an ability to control what happens. I think it's a real big step forward.
So the other part, so that's one of the other reasons to upgrade to Vista. What's some of the cool things?
Well, so just generally speaking, we've approached the operating system as an opportunity to make gaming easier, safer, and better. And so easier is all the things with the Games Explorer.
Right.
Safer is all the things with parental controls.
Mm-hmm.
Better is not just bringing those experiences to the platform, but it's bringing really unbelievably, you know, graphic fidelity and unbelievable game experiences to the platform that you're not going to find other places. And that's all about DirectX and DirectX 10.
And let's talk about DirectX 10, because that's something that a lot of people have been hearing a lot about. And you showed me some cool stuff when we were at CES.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it the Crysis demo?
Crysis was running at CES in DirectX 10, as was Age of Conan.
What does that mean, DirectX 10, to somebody who's, you know, we all know what DirectX. So let's back up a little bit and give a DirectX 101.
So when I was in Windows, I managed the DirectX team, and that team builds the graphics engines, not just for Windows, but for the Xbox as well.
Okay.
And so it's the software that lets you have 3D experiences on your Xbox or on your PC. The next generation of that software is released yesterday with Windows Vista. So we're pushing the envelope even beyond what we've delivered on Windows XP, what we've delivered on Xbox 360. Windows always leads the way. It always shows where the future is going for graphics, and that future started with Windows Vista yesterday and DirectX 10.
So with DirectX 10, is it more pretty, shinier pictures, or is there more stuff under the hood?
Well, there is absolutely more pretty shiny pictures and a lot of really great graphic fidelity that comes out of all of the stuff that's in DirectX 10. But really, there's two things about DirectX 10 that are different than anything we've done on any of our platforms before.
Okay.
So the first thing is the graphics processing unit itself, the hardware, mm-hmm. That makes the GP that makes the graphics software run.
Mm-hmm.
That has been really simplified to a way in a way that gives developers much more power and much more creativity to use the power of that GPU.
Okay.
So in the past, there were specific functions that specific parts of the GPU had to do.
Right.
Now that's not true anymore.
Okay.
And that's dumbing it down, obviously, because right. you don't want to get into a graphics right. discussion here.
Right.
But it's what we've done with DirectX 10 is really put all of the power in the hands of developers.
Okay.
The second thing we've done, in conjunction with our hardware partners, obviously, is delivered just unbelievable next-generation hardware. The DirectX 10 hardware that's available today from NVIDIA and that will be available from the other folks in the graphics business really just blows the doors off of any of the 3D hardware that's been out there.
So, but I also want to be clear, as you're talking about DirectX 10 shipped with Vista.
Yep.
But you need a card that's DirectX compatible.
Yeah, let's be really clear yeah. about that. If you want to have a DirectX 10 experience, you need a game that's a DirectX 10 game.
Check.
You need Windows Vista.
Check.
Because DirectX 10 is only in Windows Vista. And you need a DirectX 10 compatible video card.
Okay, so you got to have all those three things.
All three of those things. Once you have all three of those things, you're going to get the experience that I'm talking about. And DX 10 hardware itself is more than twice as powerful than the best of the last generation of DX 9 hardware. It's literally 100% better.
You were telling me about some of the graphic cards, and they're pretty extraordinary.
It is amazing.
I mean, some of the stuff we were showing at CES, it's beautiful.
Yeah, it is. And so you can go on the web now, and you can see Crysis, and you can see Age of Conan. And there are a bunch of great DX10 games coming out this year, like Hellgate London. Our own Flight Simulator X is going to come out with a DX10 version. Company of Heroes, which has been out for a while, is going to come out with a DirectX10 version. There's a lot of great software that's going to take advantage of all this power I'm talking about.
You know, we've got about, I think about 120 or so Xbox 360 titles right now available in stores.
Right.
How many Windows gaming and I'm talking going back to DOS.
Oh, going back to DOS.
Yeah, I mean, how many? There's got to be
thousands. Literally
100,000 maybe.
Oh, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, literally that we think that there's somewhere between 600 and 800 titles released on Windows platform every year.
Wow.
And that depends on the year and it depends on the title. And I'm not talking about casual games in that because that's a whole nother amazing group of titles that are out there.
So wait a minute, stop. We got to talk about casual games.
Okay.
So
we're gonna
press pause. We're gonna get off the merry-go-round for a second.
All right. No worries.
So I saw something. Did I read
cup of Kool-Aid down.
Did I read something in the news yesterday or this week about casual games on Vista and how they're not going to work?
Yes, I think.
What is
might.
What is
I
that?
May have seen something like that too.
What is that actually. All about? Explain that.
I'll explain it like this. We've been testing games on Vista for 18 months.
Okay.
And we've looked at more than 1,000 games. And we've also looked at a number of casual game services and other things. And we're confident that the vast majority of games run great on Windows Vista.
Okay.
Now, we're in an upgrade cycle, and we just released a new product. And, you know, there will always be a few bumps along the way when you release a new product.
Mm-hmm.
When we find out about those issues, we're addressing them. But some of the reports that you have seen and
right.
some of the people that you have seen claiming things about compatibility on Vista just aren't correct.
Okay.
They're grossly misstated. I mean, we've tested these games. There's a really good experience out there on Vista. And in fact, I think what some people are saying is games won't work
mm-hmm.
is really just the security and parental control features, making sure that you know and you're making a decision about whether you want to run that game.
Okay.
I don't call that breaking. I call that working. I think that's the operating system at work.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. So the casual games will work. You're telling me that there's really, for the most part, no problem.
That's right.
What happens? I mean, does it pop up the...
So we actually, just for example, as you probably know,
right.
at Microsoft we make a number of casual games.
Sure.
In fact, MSN Games publishes over 100 casual games.
Right.
We actually tested them all, and all but five worked perfectly well with Vista. And the five that we're having some issues with, they'll be resolved either today or tomorrow, I believe.
Now, when you say doesn't work, does that mean it won't work at all? Or
some incompatibilities, depends on the game. But in most cases, like I say, there are no problems whatsoever.
When we talk about compatibility, Vista, I remember XP had this, but I never really used it. There's this compatibility mode. He's looking at me.
Yeah, no, there is. Yeah, there is. I that's not really what's going on.
Okay.
Here, so that's why I'm looking at you. Like I was like, where were you going with that?
Yeah.
No, what's really going on here is that if you are a if you're not the administrator on a machine, so you're logged in as a standard user, somebody else is the administrator, and you're and the parental controls are turned on, and you launch a game, sometime in some cases you're not going to be able to use that game because it's been blocked.
The game needs admin access.
Basically. Yeah, exactly, and that's what's going on here. Okay. And some people are saying that's what broke it. In fact, it's what it's parental controls doing their job and working.
Right. Okay. Got it. That's a great explanation.
Okay, so that's what I was. I want to make sure we were on the same.
Okay,
page.
No, that's fine because I was like, that's what I'm seeing is a lot of people just don't understand that one of the areas around Vista is that it's much more secure.
It is much more secure, and I think that some of the things you're seeing people reporting are really just them having to get used to the security and the
a little misunderstanding features. Maybe.
And you know, it's our job to make sure that they understand all of the great stuff we've built in there, and we're going to continue to educate folks on that front. But where people may have had some issues, it may be that they just need to go back and look at the admin process, look at the parental control settings, and that will probably explain any issue that they're having.
And I know you've got a site, gamesforwindows.com.
We do. And actually just updated on Tuesday. I think we're in 5 languages now.
Excellent.
Worldwide, baby.
So you've got a bunch of great data up there and so forth, and that's a fun little site.
That is a great place to go.
One of the cool things about Games for Windows is that we showed at CES that I did a little video on Xbox.com for was the impending collision of the console and PC worlds.
Yes. Yes. I think it's by the way, it's the kind of the good collision.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like the Big Bang kind of collision.
It's like it's like the peanut butter and chocolate thing.
That's exactly right. That's right. Larry's heard me say this before, but when I talk about bringing Live to Windows, I talk about, you know, the fact that we have Xbox Live, which I think everyone agrees is far and away the best online game service that you can find.
Right.
And then we have the Windows platform, which has far and away the most online gamers.
Yep.
And that kind of reminds me of those old Reese's peanut butter commercials where like the two people run into each other. One's got a chocolate bar, the other one's
got my chocolate and my peanut butter.
Yeah, many of your listeners are probably far too young to
They're
remember
going,
those
what?
Commercials. But Reese's? You and I remember those commercials.
There's some
very
people
well.
Out there that are nodding their head right now.
That's right.
So we talked about this at CES. So you're going to have the ability in the future with some games to be playing, for instance, Halo 2 on Vista.
That's right.
You're going to be able to play against other Halo 2 members.
Halo 2 is going to be only on the PC because it doesn't go backwards compatible to Xbox One.
Okay, good
but
point.
Shadowrun is a great example, and it will be the first game where you'll be able to actually play cross-platform.
Okay, on Halo 2, I'll be able to log in and play over live with other Halo 2 PC players.
That's exactly right. A whole bunch of different experiences that are enabled when you bring the live service over to the Windows platform.
Right.
So cross-platform gaming is one of them. A different and I think better online gaming experience on Windows versus some of the things that are out there today is another scenario.
Right.
The ability to tap into that huge community of Xbox Live gamers that are out there, the 5 million plus folks that are on Xbox Live, immediately are going to be exposed to all the people that decide that they want to be on Live on Windows.
And I'll be able to – so if you're playing on your PC on Shadowrun and playing on my Xbox on Shadowrun – we could play against each other or on the same team.
That's exactly right. And so the day that the Shadowrun ships and is available on both platforms, it'll be supported by Live on both platforms. And that's right. Xbox guy over there, you can log in. Windows guy over here, I can log in.
We can
find
send each other text message voice?
Text voice the whole nine yards.
Wow.
Yeah, I think it's a really remarkable advancement. And I think that as developers start to really figure out all of that power that we're enabling with connecting the platforms – they're going to come out with games and games experiences that we haven't even thought about.
Right.
And I think that's pretty cool. It's all about that power to give the developers the creative freedom to come back with things that are just, you know, really cool for gamers. And, you know, we're all gamers, and that's what we want. So
as a PC guy, I consider you a PC guy.
That's okay. You called me the Windows guy.
And I'm an Xbox guy. So there's something you're going to really like on the Live platform, and that's called Achievements.
Yes.
So they're going to have achievements in the Windows games, right?
That's absolutely right. And so I think you probably know that that's something that folks who prefer Windows as a games platform have always been a little bit jealous of, I think. They've looked over at Xbox Live and they've said, man, those achievements are pretty cool.
Yeah, because I'm playing a game, I get rewarded, and it's kind of cool.
Or they play on both platforms and they kind of are bitter that when they're playing on Windows, they're not earning achievements, right?
So is that a separate set of achievements, or how's that going to work?
It's the same thing.
Okay.
In both cases, you'll be working on your overall gamer score, and it'll be a big deal.
Okay.
And that's going to first happen in Halo 2 for Windows Vista.
That's wild.
Yeah, it is really cool, and I think that I worry a little bit about just what that means, because if people can log on their Windows machines wherever they are,
right,
and work on their achievement and gamer score wherever they are, that might include things like The Office and other places. So it could be a massive distraction.
It could be a massive. So are you playing? Do you have any? So what is this over here? What is this thing?
That is a Ferrari laptop.
Oh, I've heard about those.
Acer Ferrari laptop. Yeah, that's a nice. That's a nice ride.
You got some good hardware in here.
Well, that's part of being the Windows guy. Is you get pretty good hardware.
So do you, must you must have like DirectX 10 cards all over the place.
I do have a few DirectX 10 cards.
We need to talk about that after this show. I just want to be able to.
You want to see if I have a few less by the time
exactly. See if we can do something with that. But you know, with getting back to the Vista experience, one of the things that maybe a lot of people are confused by are the different versions.
Sure.
So
fair enough.
How does that translate to gaming? Can we talk about that?
Well, the first thing to do is just to simplify it is if you're a consumer, there's really only three versions that you want to know about. So there's some business SKUs that are out there.
Yeah, so you may at the office, you may have...
Yeah. You might have a business version. But if you're a consumer, you're thinking about one of three versions. And so I'll quickly just tell you about all three.
Okay.
So there's Home Basic.
Yep.
And that is just what it sounds like.
Home Basic.
It runs Vista great. You won't get all of the experiences like Arrow and other things that...
Arrow is the cool
3D kind of...
Where have I seen that before? Oh, the Mac. Okay, right.
Oh, boy. Now we're going to throw it down. I see how it's going to go.
No, that's
in
cool.
any event, Larry,
yes,
you will get that with premium and ultimate SKUs. And so the thing that's really interesting, I think, for most of your listeners and most of the folks that I talk to about games on the platform is that the Media Center functionality, which is so great. And
right.
if you've run Media Center Edition, you know what I'm talking about.
Yep.
And you can extend that out through your Xbox 360. It really is a great way to kind of collect all of the stuff that you like in media, whether it's movies, music, games, those kinds of
the
things.
Other thing that's interesting that when I installed it on my home PC, my Media Center PC, is that you talked about the Xbox 360 being, you know, a remote experience,
yeah.
You know, the extender. You actually get a whole new UI with Vista, a whole new user interface.
Yeah, absolutely.
It looks different.
Yeah, it does, especially particularly in Media Center.
Right, that's what I'm saying, in the Media Center.
And just to be clear, the Media Center functionality is built into the premium and the ultimate SKU.
Okay.
You don't get that with the basic SKU.
Okay.
And so when people ask me, and I know you're going to think I'm biased, but, you know,
right.
I tend to tell people that the premium and the ultimate SKUs are the ones to look at. Premium because you get the Media Center functionality. Ultimate because you get everything.
Right.
And Ultimate really is a superset of all of the different kinds of things that we've built into Windows.
Right.
It's got some networking and some other improvements in addition to what you see in Premium. If you're going to run a home network that's going to have a number of machines included, Ultimate's a great choice.
Right.
But either one of those is a really great choice for gamers because you're going to get all of the great Arrow experience. You're going to get some additional Inbox games. We've redone all the Inbox games, and if you buy Premium and Ultimate, you'll get two new Inbox games.
No, when you say the ones that ship
in
the box.
Yeah, I should be clear. Like Solitaire, Minesweeper, all those games.
Is Solitaire finally – I haven't even checked. Is it finally updated?
It's been Vistified.
God
That's right.
Bless.
That's right. Finally. And there's a lot of really cool other features that we built in for Ultimate and a number of other things that you'll get. As an Ultimate owner, you'll get a number of Ultimate extras from the web that you can download.
I just got my first one.
Which one's that?
Hold'em.
Hold'em. There you go. That's right. So there are a couple of games up there already, and there will be more of those kinds of things as well. So the thing that's cool about Ultimate is it's kind of the gift that keeps on giving because there will be things updated over time that you'll be able to download for free
cool.
as an Ultimate owner.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that's interesting, and I didn't know this. I work here, and I don't
imagine
even know
that.
So imagine that. Is that so if I get the basic version.
Yeah.
I can actually upgrade easily to the other two.
Yeah, that's right.
And so it's not like when I say upgrade, it's not like, oh, God, I got to reformat my machine. I can just go buy a license.
That's right.
And plug it in, and then pa-pa.
That's right. So you can go to Windows Marketplace. So let's say you bought Home Basic.
Yep.
You got it home. You love it, but there's some things in Premium that you really like more, like the Media Center.
Or maybe a few months later, you decide you want it.
That's right. You want to supersize or whatever.
Right.
And you can go to Windows Marketplace.com and you can download immediately. And there's a number of other ways that you'll be able to do that as well. So it's a pretty cool part of the functionality of the platform.
That's kind
of
cool.
It is cool.
That is cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about giving you the options, you know?
So you're now over here in the Xbox world.
I am.
And games are at games everywhere. And it's got to be kind of cool.
It's unbelievably cool. And, you know... jokingly, Peter and I always, you know, this will come up every once in a while. I'll look at them and say, you complete me.
Right.
You know, use my Jerry Maguire lines. And it's because we were in Windows and we were one of many folks doing all kinds of things that Windows does well.
And Windows is a big organization.
It's 15,000 people or whatever it is. And, you know, there weren't that many people that understood games and gamers. Right. We've come over here and you
everybody
know,
understands.
We're with our people now,
right?
And that makes a big difference. I mean, it makes coming to work a lot of fun, but it also means that we can, you know, immediately sit down in a room with people and say, okay, we're going to go do this for gamers, and they're all going to be like, yeah, of course we're going to go do this.
One of the bridges that we talked about was Xbox Live between the console yep. and the PC. That's one of the bridges. The other bridge is that I don't know if you're talking a lot about this is XNA.
Oh, I'm happy to talk about it.
Let's talk about XNA. And that, so that is, why don't you explain it for people that, I've had some people on before talk about it, but let's hear it out of your mouth.
That's good. And, you know, there's a lot of great people at Microsoft that, that are working on XNA every day. But, you know, the thing about XNA that's great is, first of all, XNA really is just an uber name for all of the great developer tools that we put in the hands of developers that help them make great games for Xbox 360.
Yep.
And great games for Windows Vista.
Yep.
One of the things that's really cool about what we're doing is that because our platforms are very similar and we're trying to bring them together even more, we give developers the tools that allow them to build their game for both platforms very easily.
Mm-hmm.
What's really cool from a user perspective, of course, is what we've done with XNA Studio Express. And you've probably had some folks on the show talk about that, but the ability to very easily go in and by the way, on Windows, create your game,
mm-hmm.
And then either be able to play that game on Windows or Xbox 360 is very, very cool.
Often, even with the same controller.
Even with the same controller, that's absolutely right. So you start to see the power of the combination of bringing Windows and Xbox together and putting those tools not just in the hands of developers but in the hands of just about anybody who wants to give it a try.
Have you written a game yet?
I have played around with it. I can't say that any game that I've played around with it I wouldn't call them games yet because
right.
they don't seem to work very well.
Right.
But I think that's user error.
What, I want to talk about your home rig.
My home rig, sure.
What do you got at home?
I have a new machine coming now that, because here's the thing that's cool about where we are with hardware right now. So I'll digress and then I'll tell you what I have.
All right.
Right now, because of the advances over the last year in both the CPU, the GPU, and now, of course, with the release of Vista, you could buy a machine that is, I mean, like light years ahead of what you could have bought even a year ago.
Right.
So Moore's Law was sped up over the last year. And, mm-hmm. You can today, for a very reasonable price, buy a dual-core CPU with a high-end DirectX 9 card or even one of the new DirectX 10 cards and Windows Vista. And that combination of power is kind of like a perfect storm. I mean, we've got great new CPUs, great new GPUs, great new software. And it just means that the power is just off the charts from where it's been before. So I have at home, I have a Dell XPS 400.
Uh-huh.
Bought it about... let's see, just over 2 years ago.
Okay.
It's a great machine. It's, let's see, it's a 3.2 Pentium 4. It's got a couple of Western Digital 10,000 RPM hard drives in it. It's got 4 gigs of RAM. It's got, I think it's got a 1950 in ATIX.
So you got some pretty serious hardware
in it. Yeah, but I just ordered a new machine from Dell. I got one of their new liquid cooling machines.
We looked at those.
Sweet.
With all the tubes and wires everywhere.
Turns out there's a lot of people that want those machines, so it's going to be a couple more weeks before mine gets in. But that one is pretty remarkable. That's got new DX10 hardware in it. It's got a quad core CPU. It's just going to rock.
Smoking.
It is going to be. The idea is that it won't be smoking. That's the whole liquid cooling thing.
Right.
And it won't be loud.
Right.
Because my current machine's a little loud, and I hear complaints about the noise from the PC from time to time. So that's why I went with liquid cooling.
That's cool. Are you did you play World of Warcraft?
I played a little bit of World of Warcraft, but
what level did you get up to?
Oh, not very far, like into the 30s. But
I think I got into 15 or 20.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, I just the problem with World of Warcraft is that you just gotta keep playing. And
yeah.
I like to play a lot of different games.
Right.
I play a lot of different games, and it's
what
hard.
What are you playing now?
I'm playing a lot of Battlefield 2142.
Uh-huh.
I've been through Company Heroes a couple of times, and I keep going back because that game is just fabulous.
Right.
I can't wait for the DirectX 10 version of that. And on 360, I've been playing a lot of the Crackdown beta, and you and I were talking about that yesterday.
Yeah.
I cannot wait
for
some Crackdown.
So I actually been I've been playing that. I got the green light to go ahead and play the final disc, and I am having a blast with
it. It's a wonderful game, and I know Davey, and I know the work that those guys have done over the years, and I'm telling you, this may be the best thing they've ever done. I mean, it is a remarkably fun game.
So as I'm sitting here talking to you,
yes,
I'm looking at the building behind you, and I'm like, I could jump that building.
Yeah, I know. That's right. It's actually, talk about having like an altered sense of reality. You play a little Crackdown, and all of a sudden you're like living in this cartoon world where you can do whatever
you want. Walking over to your office, and I'm like, I could jump that building. That's only three stories.
Yeah.
I could do, maybe I could jump up on the ledge. Yeah, that's exactly what you start doing.
Yeah, it's a sweet game. And I've obviously been through Gears and a lot of Call of Duty 3. Shooters are a bit of a theme here, you're guessing.
Yeah.
On Windows, the games I'm really excited about are all the DirectX 10 games that are coming, like Crysis.
But is that exciting for you, even though, you did the demo at CES?
Yep.
Didn't you do the demo at E3?
I did not. That was Mr. Henson, actually.
That's right. That was Scott, who's also a fan and a regular guest on my show.
I'm sure he is. That's right.
But so you've been playing Crysis this one era. So are you really still excited to go back to it and finally see the finished version?
Oh, I can't wait for the finished version. And one of the things that's been interesting is to see the progression over the last sort of 9 months that they've been showing that game, and to see how every time you see it. Here's the deal. I sat down with the guys at Crytek about 18 months ago, and we started talking about DirectX 10, and we talked about Vista, and we said, we would really love to just blow the doors out on a game. And they said, well, we have this game that we're working on.
Right.
We're going to call it Crysis,
right,
with a Y.
Right.
And so we started planning and talking and thinking about how we could make it great, and it is already well beyond what I ever expected it to be.
Right.
And I think that the finished product will be even beyond that. And so... yeah, I can't wait. I mean, it's when you see the effects that they're able to do with DirectX 10, the motion blur, the really, really outstanding graphic fidelity, some of the interactive environments, the AI, the physics, it's really remarkable. It really is a great way to showcase all that extra horsepower I was talking about.
From what there's a lot of people listening to this right now and going, well, that kind of sucks because I just bought an Xbox 360. But that's a different type of gaming and a different type of programming. What I'm saying is people, one would claim that, DX10, you're going to get better fidelity.
Yeah, well, so and by no means. Let's take my own personal experience. I will be playing any number of the wonderful games coming on 360 this year with a lot of glee, and I'll be playing them downstairs,
right,
on my plasma, and it'll be awesome, and the graphic fidelity will be terrific. And no, it's a different. You're right. It is in a way a different kind of gaming. When you talk about something that's got, a $1,000 processor and a $600 graphics card,
right,
and $400 worth of memory and a couple hundred dollars worth
you're in a different class.
It's a different experience. It's a different machine, and you are going to get a different experience. And I think that what's cool about what Microsoft is doing is it's delivering you that unbelievable what we call 2-foot experience, that mouse and keyboard right in front of your monitor experience.
Right.
It's delivering the unbelievable 10-foot experience in your living room when you're playing on your Xbox 360 with your wireless controller on your couch. And it's delivering a whole bunch of great casual experiences as well. So really our goal is to be the best at every one of those. And I think we're doing that with Windows and Vista. I know we're doing it with 360.
Oh, yeah.
And I think if you look at some of the great stuff we've done in Microsoft casual games, we're doing it there too. So, and when you roll it all together, I think our gaming universe is the best one there is, and we're going to keep making it better.
Did you see – you saw the IPTV stuff?
Oh, that's so cool.
I got that installed in my dev kit yesterday.
Nice.
That's wild.
I'm gonna come over to your office.
It is wild.
Wow. Yeah, it is. It is amazing what you can do.
I mean, so that just gives you an idea of some of the power, just to get to your point, the power of the 360 and the PC is just a different kind of power.
Yeah, that's right. And then you think about how you connect them versus live, and you can play, one of the things we didn't talk about with Shadowrun, but that's going to be the big story, I guess, at the time will be the mouse and keyboard Windows players against the Xbox 360 controller, Xbox.
Well, have you been over there to the studios?
Yeah, I go all the time.
Because, they've got that you can play either one, and sometimes they break it up and say, this room is going to play keyboard, player is going to play controller. And I talked to those guys, and apparently the controller guys have a little bit of an edge right now.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to say that I'm bitter about this, but the guy that's the lead designer also did all the controller mapping for Halo. So he's the guy that knows how to make a great shooter on controller and on Xbox.
Right.
I'm only bitter because when I lose, I just blame it on them.
Right, understood. Yeah,
exactly. It couldn't possibly be me.
No, it can't.
There's
be.
No way. It's not me. It's you.
It's clearly not you.
Exactly.
So I got to ask you before I let you go. So we talked about Vista gaming. What's your favorite feature, gaming or not, of Vista?
I think I'll give you two. Am I allowed to give you two?
All right.
Sorry. Well, one is and we talked about the gaming ones, but one is what we call Flip 3D, which is the way that if you're like me. And you've got a number of different applications open at any time, you can very quickly with the Windows tab keys or a couple of other ways scroll through all of the things you're showing in a 3D Rolodex.
Right. They kind of march.
Yeah, they just kind of roll in front of you. And It's great eye candy. It looks really cool, and everyone kind of oohs and ahs when they see it.
Right.
But, you know, I've been a Vista power user for quite some time now, last couple of years. And it really actually makes a difference in the way that you use your machine because, like I say, if you have like 15 or 20 things open, you can get there very quickly.
Right.
And it looks cool. Things that look cool are cool. The other thing I love is one of the Vista Ultimate Extras, which is that 3D desktop feature.
Oh, yeah, that we showed at CES.
We showed a waterfall at CES, but really you can run any video you want in the background as your desktop.
You know, I did that.
It's so cool.
So let me tell you this story.
I'm running the Crisis video as my desktop. It's awesome.
You want to know what I was running as my desktop? The interview that I did at CES with the Girls Gone Wild girls.
Oh, I saw that. Yes. In fact, I was not far away when you did that interview. Right.
So I actually have that running in the background. Nice. So thank God you can pause
it. Good stuff, Larry.
So I think probably my favorite feature so far, those are kind of cool.
Yeah, let me ask you, what's your favorite feature?
You know what it is? It's the search.
Oh, well, that's awesome.
It's the fact that you can just literally, and it kind of freaked me out the first time I typed like in the search box.
The real-time part of it?
Right, that I was typed in. I was looking for something on my hard drive, and all of a sudden it returned everything in my Outlook, returned stuff in my history of websites.
Oops.
It was, yeah. No Girls Gone Wild. But it was kind of cool that it just found everything and it finds it so quick.
Yeah, and the way that it very quickly winnows it down to what you're looking for based on your keystrokes.
Yeah.
It does it in real time. I mean, it does freak you out.
Yeah.
Because you see how much stuff there is on your machine, which is, I think, one of the things that's
in
really cool.
In mail and URLs and history and files.
And it reminds you that, you know, if you buy a machine today, you might have a terabyte of storage or something like that on there. That's a lot. That means that's a lot.
That's a lot.
Terabyte's a lot.
Yeah.
And to be able to sift through that so quickly and find it so easily is a big improvement.
So I guess probably the one thing that I want to know, you know, you talked about the flip thing, and I gotta, you know, Vista people, if you're listening, so I like the fact that you can hit Windows key tab and you get that where they march by.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
but there's also down in the quick launch button,
there is, that's right,
you can hit that and it sticks.
Yes.
And you can just wheel through them. I want to be able to do the Windows key tab and have it stick. You know what I'm saying?
I could see what you're saying. Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So
we'll take that under advisement.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
No, that's cool. I do like the way that it sticks when you use it for the
quick launch taskbar.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
You got to click and it kind of wheel through.
That's
it.
Very, very cool.
So anyway, that's
yeah. You know, I think here's the thing about Vista, and you know, there will be people who want to upgrade right away, and in fact, there's been a lot of really great response this week. There will be people who will want to, you know, wait and see. There'll be people who will get it with their next machine, but I think all of those folks, and you know, really, the thing that's cool about the path is it's up to you. You get to choose when you're going to make the move.
Right.
But I think that when people do make the move, they're going to be remarkably surprised by the set of improvements in the operating system. And we just talked about a couple of them here.
Yeah.
So it's a great product. I'm slightly biased. I worked on it for the last 4 years, but I think the finished product is something that, you know, we're all really, really proud of. And I think it's a real big step forward for folks using their machines in general. And I know it's a really big step forward for games and gamers.
All right, well, I'm going to let you go. Hold on a minute. I'm sorry.
And on that note,
I was just looking for a DirectX 10 card. I don't seem to see any under here.
Yeah, well, all right, have to hide those. They're expensive.
All right, we're going
to
go find one. All right, thanks, Rich. I appreciate you coming on. Can I have you on again maybe sometime in the future?
I would love to.
Maybe
come
when
back.
We get closer to when like Shadowrun launches. And
yeah,
the
actually, when we get to the live space, that would be great. That would be awesome.
So you know what we should do? We should probably set up.
Have a game.
I'll round up some Xbox 360 owners for Shadowrun.
We'll
you can round up some PC owners, and
absolutely,
we'll take it on. How's that sound?
Bring it on.
All right, man. I'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks.
It's always great to have Rich on, especially this week when Vista launched. You know, Windows, you can't ignore the fact that Windows is a huge gaming platform, and I mean, it's just incredible. So I'm so thrilled that we're putting the discipline around the games for Windows as we are with the original or with Xbox and so forth. So so that's good news, and obviously as you know, as the world's kind of come closer and closer using Live as this intersection point, obviously things will get very interesting. I'm serious about what I said during that interview. I do want, once Shadowrun ships later this year, I want to round up some folks from the Xbox side. You know, it could be anybody, community folks. I want to round up some community folks and have Rich round up some community folks that'll play Shadowrun on PC, and then I want to compete with them. Would you guys be into that? Xbox 360 versus PC guys. What do you think of that? Sounds like a lot of fun. I think I'm hearing you nod your heads and you're saying yes. So, all right, let's get on to my next interview. All right, another guest that I have today is my good friend Andre. Hello, Andre.
Hey there.
So you're a lot of people probably don't know your name, but they know your gamer tag.
Yep.
What's your gamer tag?
I'd be Ozymandias.
So Ozymandias, what does that mean?
Oh, God, it depends on your point of reference, but I was an old English major back in the day, and Ozymandias was a poem from Shelley, and mm-hmm. it was kind of talking about Ramses back in Egypt and the ruined statue, and so there's a bit of a literary bent. If you go out there and search the web, you'll find plenty of links to Shelley and Ozymandias, and then apparently this little Watchmen comic thing kind of came along and used it too, but...
So, you know, a lot of people, their eyes just glazed over because they don't think like that when they come to their gamer tag.
Yeah.
You know, coming from a guy where it's from a 60s sitcom. So that's kind of cool. But a lot of people know, you know, you've got a blog, Ozymandias.com.
Yep. IAS, not IOS.
Okay. So I'll put a link to that up. But awesome. More importantly, you work in the games technology group.
Yeah, well, actually now, so, you know, big company, we always reorg.
Right.
So right now I'm part of what we call the games games platform strategy group.
What does that mean?
We think strategic thoughts about the game platform. So really our job is to think about, you know, Microsoft gaming platforms.
Right.
That's Windows, obviously. That's Xbox, Xbox 360, Xbox Live. It could be future devices or other things we haven't talked about.
Right.
But our job is to basically think about what are we going to go do over the next few years? What should we as a company be doing? We then go help build up the messaging that we're going to go do to talk to partners and developers and publishers,
mm-hmm.
take their feedback, come back and help the teams internally understand, you know, what people are looking for and kind of have the holistic role of trying to just do the right thing for both Microsoft and the industry.
So you talk a lot with developers. What are they saying about the 360 and the PS3 and the Wii? That's one thing you're known for is you like to be very outspoken, opinionated on these things.
Well, you got to be, right?
And you got to be, yeah. Absolutely. But I wanted to come in and talk to you today about what are they saying about that from what you heard? We're not going to give names, yep. But just general high level stuff.
Sure. Well, so, you know, we'll start with the 360. That one's easy.
Right.
Excuse me.
Sure.
There's a lot of interest in 360. Obviously, having a year head start, people are pretty excited about the install base. People are really happy with Live. There's a lot of interest in Marketplace. A lot of people asking about, hey, how can we go sell more content? How can we sell bigger games? You know, there's been a lot of discussion about arcade and.
So you just say you say Marketplace.
Yep.
And that kind of everyone, their ears just perked up. They're going, what do you mean, sell more stuff? We're being nickel and dimed already. What's your opinion on that?
Well, it depends on how you do it. At the end of the day, I mean, I don't know why this is a big issue. Seriously. At the end of the day, the consumer is king. So either you're going to see value in something that is offered or you're not, period. Right. The horse armor is a great example. A lot of people said, why am I paying for this? And you know what? The publisher listened and fixed that.
Right.
So there's also a lot of people who say, hey, maybe I do want to pick something controversial. Maybe I do want to unlock all my skills in, I don't know, Tiger Woods.
Right.
Maybe I don't want to play the game that long. Maybe it's worth it to me. If half the population feels like that, hey, it's a good offer. Mm-hmm. If no one buys it, great. That's another data point.
Right.
And we're all learning this together. So all I can say is if you like it, buy it. If you don't. It's about that simple.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So anyway, moving along. So where were we?
We yeah, we were Marketplace, arcade, downloadable content. Oh, yeah. So, you know, lots of interest in that. People are looking at arcade and they're beginning to see, you know, you can look ahead and you can see that a few folks have said it, but you can kind of squint and say that this generation of consoles could be the last generation of disc-based consoles.
And I think Sony said that before.
Yep, Sony said that. I think Nintendo, you know, we all have kind of different electronic software distribution technologies in place. We have everybody's sort of starting with smaller games. But if you squint and look ahead, it's pretty obvious that eventually there'll be a time when you'll be getting your full games down the pipe.
Right.
Where and when and how that's going to happen is a big open question because you've got to work with retail. You have to understand how to work with them, how to make everybody happy in that value chain. So we're getting a lot of questions about that. People looking at the PS3, there's definitely disappointment.
Now, you have a PS3.
Yep. Well, I had two.
You had two.
So I picked one up in Shanghai, gray market.
That's right. I remember you sent an email out, and you were over in Japan or over in China. What were you doing over there?
Visiting developers.
So you're visiting developers.
Yep, visiting developers. I was talking at a Game Fest, which is one of our game developer events, about Live on Windows.
Uh-huh.
And so I was over there and then had a chance to pick up a Japanese PS3 there, which was good because, you know, they were hard to find at the beginning, and we wanted to have one to actually get hands-on experience.
Right.
Because a lot of what we do, too, is the competitive intelligence. You know, what are the people doing? What should we be thinking about when we go do our stuff?
Right.
So picked up a U.S. one. And
are there any differences?
They're minor. I mean, very minor.
Okay.
Other than, you know, having to haul it across half the world and bring it through customs. It's As far as I've been able to tell, the primary difference is if you're playing a, if you have a Japanese PS3 and you drop in a game like Resistance, for example, it'll identify that and it'll actually change the color of the blood and tone it down a little bit.
Okay.
But beyond that, I believe, I'm trying to remember what the other difference was. UI, you have some different, you had to change the UI initially, so the language, the default language, little
right.
things like that. But
right.
basically, they're the same. There's not
so
terribly much.
So basically the same, right.
Yeah. But yeah, so people are kind of disappointed about PS3 sales. I mean, obviously with the brand behind them, there was a lot of expectation that they would
and
do better.
I want you to talk about, since you work with the publishers and the developers, that's pretty important because the way the ecosystem works, if there's no units selling, then there's no games for people to, you know, there's no people to buy those games.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about that.
Well, it's the razor blades mm-hmm. thing right now. You know, I mean, there's publishers are making those razor blades and they're kind of like, well, hang on. What am I sticking these onto?
Right.
You know, over time, I'm not going to sit here and just bang on the PS3 too much because it's got a good brand. I bought one because there's going to be games I'm going to want to have. Frankly, I bought one now well before maybe I would have if I wasn't working here mm-hmm. because of the competitive aspects and wanting to understand what they're doing.
Right.
I think most people don't believe that Sony's just going to pull out of the market. That's not going to happen.
Right.
But you do see, you are seeing kind of a refactoring of investment resources. Wii has been sort of the surprise hit, so people are investing a little bit more there. I'm not going to go into specifics, but some publishers
sure.
might have bet larger on, say, the PS3 initially just right. based upon past history, and they're going, oops, hang on, Wii's doing really well.
Right.
So we're going to go put some of our resources there. You're seeing some titles. You know, it's kind of interesting because publishers aren't going to tell us specifically what they're doing on competing platforms.
Of course, and obviously we're not going to discuss it here.
Right, you know, that's just not the way the industry works. But you do get senses of it as you look at what we're doing and you look at titles that are coming. And, you know, over time, if you're kind of plugged in, you can get a sense of where things
right.
are moving.
Right, you got your finger on the pulse of what's
right.
going on.
And what's happening is you see titles moving to the Wii. There are titles that are people, you know, it's seen as an opportunity. You're seeing titles either being delayed on the PS3, shifted out maybe a year when the install base will be higher, or you know, some of the publishers are looking and saying, well, hang on a sec, what are we going to do for the future now? The install base of the PS3 isn't as large as what we're doing, so maybe those exclusives that we were thinking about don't make sense, so let's start looking at Wii, DS. I mean, even, what was it? Was it Dragon Ball? Dragon Quest?
Uh-huh.
You know, Square just announced they would do that exclusively on the DS, which was a huge move.
Well, but DS is like, they're selling tons of those.
Yeah. No, I've got two.
Yeah.
Sad but true.
Right. I want to talk about the media. You talked a little bit about disc-based medium. What was your thinking, or what did you think when Sony announced they were going to have Blu-ray and the games are on Blu-ray?
Well, honestly, for quite a while, we had to wait and see. I mean,
right.
It's really hard to. It all sounds great. Hey, we're going to have double the capacity of even HD DVD. We'll put tons of content on there. But one thing Sony's done very purposely is try to blur the line between HD movie playback and the reasons you would use that. You would need that capacity for that sort of playback.
Right.
And then that capacity as it relates to actual quality of games.
Right.
And the reality is we're in a cross-platform development world. People are developing content across multiple platforms, and DVD is basically the baseline.
Mm-hmm.
So when you're developing for there, you go off and that's the target you do. And so that's one limitation on you
sure.
ever using that space. And beyond that, you also have just a limitation of disc access,
mm-hmm.
right? I mean, Blu-ray is, I believe right now it's a 2X.
Mm-hmm.
I shouldn't even say right now. I mean, that's fixed for the life of the console.
Right.
And we're at 8 to 12, depending on how fast the drive is spinning.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's differences there depending on whether it's constant angular velocity and how quickly you're reading the data and consistently. But there's challenges that they have there. And I think the general opinion and impression people are getting is Blu-ray really doesn't mean all that much for games right now.
Right.
You get minor nice things like Resistance bundled multiple languages on the disc. Okay, that's nifty. I mean, I guess it makes it a little easier.
But the end user in Europe or the U.S. or wherever, it doesn't really matter because it's a disc is a disc. It just,
right.
On the back end, it helps the distributors.
Yeah, and it helps the guy. I mean, it helps the poor guy mastering the disc back at Sony, and it helps the manufacturers to track one less SKU. So, great. I mean, it's nice.
Right.
But I don't see any consumer benefit.
End user value for
that.
Right.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, yeah, I mean, Blu-ray is just, it's interesting. I mean, there was some data that came out just recently that showed it was the first. I won't even say the numbers, because for some reason, actual numbers about DVD and HD DVD and Blu-ray discs being sold
mm-hmm.
are hard to find.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the independent vendors that tracks that have kind of released some charts that show scales, and they showed just recently Blu-ray selling a little more. and the trend is going well for them.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like a 1 week trend that they showed. It was a very strange chart.
Yeah.
So, you know, I highlight that just to say, hey, so but Blu-ray is a movie playback.
Right.
Is it necessarily dead?
Right.
For games, I just don't get it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what about the Wii? Do you have a Wii?
Oh, the Wii.
I'm sorry.
Saying, what about the Wii? I was like, oh, yeah, yeah, no, have a Wii. Was very lucky that we had, we knew somebody here who was close to Nintendo, so I was able to go to the company store, pick them up, and didn't have to go through all the pain of finding one.
Now, I'm seeing a lot of people online who are saying that, you know, when they came back from the after Christmas and the holiday, that they haven't really picked it up. Is that what you're experiencing? I don't have one yet. But I'm just curious to what you're seeing. Is,
so picked it up in what sense? Like just haven't bought one?
No, no. They bought it. They went home. They had spent some time with the family. It was all a lot of fun. All the kids were huddled around playing the game. And now it's like they're back in normal life. We're back here January, right. February. And it's like, you know, they haven't really gone back to it.
Yeah. And, you know, that's kind of my experience. What I found is, so Zelda's great.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it's the same game you've played a million times. But it's a great game, so hey, go play.
So let's keep playing a million
play the
more.
Best version you're going to do.
Right.
I'm about two-thirds of the way through. I'm going to finish it. Just started Crackdown, so that kind of sucks.
Oh, I want to talk about Crackdown.
Oh, yeah. Well, we can talk about online on Sony, too. That's always fun.
Well, let's go the Wii, and then we'll go back to the online on Sony. Hold on. Okay.
We can do this for hours.
We'll finish on the Wii.
So, you know, Zelda's great. Play a couple hours a night, about two-thirds of the way through. You know how hard it is to find time to play, so it's taken a while. So that was a great one. The pack-in, what was it? Wii Play, the, you know, the golf.
The Sports.
Wii Sports, thanks.
Right.
Wii Play is the one coming out. So we, you know, friends and I have played that. It's fun, and it was kind of interesting because it was a good gateway. You know how you have the concept of gateway games to bring non-gamers in?
Right.
You know, I had some friends and a roommate actually start playing it. They really loved it. But interestingly, like even the guy who really loved golf, he's moved on now to it's Tiger Woods on the 360. He just says it's a better game.
Interesting.
And I think what he's referring to there is just a deeper game. There's a lot more to it.
Sure.
But they really did enjoy coming into the simpler controller and kind of the movement-based controller. So that was pretty interesting. And then right now, as far as the Wii goes, it's kind of – no, I take it back. WarioWare.
Mm-hmm.
That just popped up. And so that was actually fun. But what you really get is kind of spikes of interest. And so far – it appears it's all been kind of first-party titles.
Yeah.
The third-party stuff has been disappointing.
And does that get back, when you say the third-party stuff, does that get back to this to the Blu-ray problem? Meaning the baseline, you know, the baseline is a hand-based controller, and the Wii controller is the Blu-ray, meaning it's kind of this different thing that they need to spend some extra cycles for.
Yeah, yeah, I see where you're going with that. Yeah, I think it is. I mean, the controller is actually more sensitive and more accurate if used well than I had worried. So that's a great thing.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, third parties don't seem to have really been able to wrap their heads around it yet.
Right.
All of the ports you see are just they're horribly frustrating. I've played all of them. You know, I'm not going to go say specific names.
Oh, I played one of the first-person shooter where I got sick.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't play it.
Well, I've tried all of those. If the first-person shooters in particular, you're just it doesn't add value. You know,
right.
In Zelda, the new control scheme doesn't add value, but at least doesn't detract
from
the first-person shooters. It's just painful.
Right.
So you don't want to do that.
So for the right games, it's definitely it's a great platform. I think we all know we're fans of the Nintendo platform.
My fear is that I'm sure Nintendo's going to release great first-party games. And a friend of mine put it really well years ago, back in the days of Nintendo 64. He said, basically, I don't really buy Nintendo consoles. What I do is I buy the game that I know I want to play. In that case, I think it was actually Mario 64.
Mm-hmm.
I just happened to buy the cheap console along with it because it's price of entry, and I know I'm going to get one or two more amazing games on a Nintendo that make it all worth it.
Right.
And my hope is that third parties with their investment are going to come in and do some stuff and really focus on that controller and get some of that magic so that it'll keep going. My worry is that you're going to see the Wii have kind of relatively short legs, and in a year or two, it's going to start getting dragged down by its poor graphical performance.
Right.
Third parties are going to start backing away from it again because they're just not making anywhere near as much money as first party Nintendo.
Right.
And we'll just end up playing Mario's for the next 4 years.
Right. So we'll, you know, I'll come back and talk to you in a year, and we'll see if your predictions are true.
That'll be fun.
But I want to jump back. You know, you teased me a little bit with the Sony Online. So that's something that's close to your heart because, you know, you and I work on a lot of the live stuff very closely.
Yep.
And Sony's was hand-waving for a while there about how, you know, they're going to do it. But let's be clear, you didn't do it.
Check.
So what are you hearing on that? What's your opinion on that?
God, you know, that one, I'm actually trying to sort of be nice and not just rip into them too much.
Right.
But it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm trying to put my gamer hat on. Take off the Microsoft hat, put on my gamer hat.
Right.
It's frustrating because, you know, online's been one of those things that's 5 years ago, you know, when we launched Xbox, we started talking about Xbox Live. yeah, you could kind of squint and say maybe online is not quite ready yet. You know, maybe we are investing early, but we see the potential, and you can kind of squint and see why the other guys weren't really focusing on it.
Right.
Today, it doesn't make sense. I mean, online is where it's at. And when I say online, I don't mean purely multiplayer.
Right. Oh, there's many flavors of online.
I'm talking community, co-op, play,
digital
sharing
distribution.
Of content, digital distribution, emailing, messaging, IMing. I mean, there's all these things that build a community, right?
Right.
Your blog. I mean, all these things.
Yep.
And we've been, the advantage of us getting out there early is we got the basic stuff done. Matchmaking. I mean, you can go play games. We did that, traversal, blah-de-blah. Now we can start focusing on the really interesting stuff over the next few years and start really building in those community things. I mean, if you think about it, we have, I'm trying to remember what our last public numbers, I know it was at least 5 million, that we announced members on live.
Yep.
And that's pretty impressive. I mean, and those are real people. I know people like to say, oh, they got to be fake, what have you. I mean, those are real people, and we're really proud of that.
Right.
But I will stand up and say, you know what, though? There's so much more we can do to fix the community. You look at our dashboard and you say, what is it really? How do I see that vibrant community? All I really see is maybe I got some messages and maybe I actually have, you know, a few people online. I don't really see what they're downloading. I don't see what friends are playing. What are friends of friends downloading? What are the top 10 downloads that my friends across the service have played? Why do I basically care? I mean, right now it sort of feels like you're a tip of an iceberg. You know there's stuff there, but it's hard to see it if your friends aren't online. So we have a huge opportunity to go further. Sony's not even there yet. I mean, we have this very strange kind of the crossbar interface, whether you like it or not. You know, it doesn't go across all games, which is kind of a frustrating thing. You don't really have consistent communication. You have all sorts of issues about if you're going to actually be in a game and how you communicate across games, how you send a message to people, how you send an invite. It's a mess. I think they're going to fix that. They have to.
Right.
But right now, there's just nothing there.
Right.
I mean, how many messages? Do you have a PS3? I don't.
I do not, no. I played with one. I just haven't had a chance to pick one up, and it hasn't been any, you know, not that I'm a hater. I'm just like, okay, when there's something comes out, I'll grab one.
Exactly. I mean, I could point you to Resistance, and then you're sort of like, now what? There's nothing there. I mean, I've looked at their marketplace. I forget what they call it exactly, but it's their equivalent.
The online store or whatever, Connect.
The Sony store, something like that,
Right.
And, you know, there's not much content there. Now, to be fair to them, when we launched Marketplace, we didn't have much content. It's a nature of the beast. You got to get the machine rolling, and then people start feeding content into it.
Yep.
But right now, it's just primarily videos, trailers, a couple of game downloads, nothing much interesting. And I think I've gotten one message from one blog reader who just happened to put two and two together and say, oh, maybe he has Ozymandias as his account name on PlayStation Online.
Right.
And he basically said hi, and I said hi, and
that was it.
Never seen him again online again. So,
So you and I actually posted on our blogs, getting back to about the features of online. You posted it, and then shortly thereafter, I posted, just kind of putting a call out for what people think.
Yeah.
Remember that? It was probably a couple, 3 weeks ago when
we did that. That was fantastic.
Yeah. So you posted it, and then I had, I don't know how many comments you had, but I had like 1,500, I think.
It was in that same ballpark.
It was ridiculous. I mean, because that's what I love about the community is, and you must well, is the creativity.
Yeah, and the fantastic thing is we can tell people this a million times, and I don't know how much they believe it, but we have to actually deliver those features for them to believe we're listening, but we really are listening.
Right.
You know, I mean, you work in the live team. You know how much we look at that stuff.
Yep.
I'm working in our team with some of our future planning. And, you know, to be clear, it's not just me. There is a team of people, and then we go take inputs across the entire company and organization. It's a big project.
But the good news is you say it's not you and it's the team, but the team, like yourself, does read the blogs. Not only mine. I mean, they're reading Joystick every day. They're reading Engadget. They're reading Kotaku. Well, maybe not Kotaku. But they're reading. What I'm saying is we're all connected to the community. We're all like, oh, that's an interesting idea. And we're always sending emails to each other about this.
Oh, totally. You see a cool idea and people say, oh, man, that's great. Wouldn't it be great if we could do this and that? And sometimes you get the little Skunkworks projects where people pull something out that we didn't even know we could do. And it gets into the Flash update and people are excited. No, that was fantastic. And so we've actually been listening to that. And again, we can't comment on specific things. But the cool thing I'll say is this is one thing I'm really proud about the Microsoft gaming teams, the platform teams, the live team, is they're really connected to the gamer. They are gamers, and they understand what should be there because they want to see it too. And so the good news is like at least 2/3 to 3/4 of the suggestions we see, we totally get it. They're
probably on a wish list someplace already.
Exactly. And they're, you know, the issue is how do we prioritize it or what's the best way to do it? Sure, we could do this little thing that they want as a one-off. But maybe if we did the bigger thing and integrated right. that in and do it right, that's what we should do, but do it a year later.
Right.
And so it's really cool that I think I'm really proud that we have a lot of that stuff already going. But I have to say it's really awesome, too, because the community will always surprise you with just really cool stuff that you're like, that's a great idea. And we add that to the list and people start sparking and
right. It just adds going. To the creativity.
Yeah.
Now, you're working with the developers and the publishers around the world, as we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
So you're seeing game. You're seeing some titles that probably haven't been announced yet.
Oh, yeah. That's all the time. Yeah.
I mean, so you're looking at stuff that isn't announced. And what is, you know, I'm not going to ask you to say what have you seen, but I'm going to say, you know, what can we expect from the Xbox 360 moving forward? I mean, people seem to think that, like, Gears of War is like the top in graphical fidelity.
Right.
Is that a fair statement from some of the stuff you've seen?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I mean, the nice thing about things like Gears of War is that was a first party title. So a lot of the learnings we get, a lot of the technology goes in there, a lot of the ways to push the system
right.
go straight back into our developer support teams that get the same people that work with all of the third parties. And so when you have a developer come in and say, hey, I need to push this bit a little harder, or I need to get a little more performance here.
Right.
You know, we're continuously evolving that. So I think you're going to see some mind blowing stuff. What really excites me about is how people are beginning to think about, basically, I'm going to call it Live on Windows because
yeah, let's talk about that for a second.
You know, the name still to be determined.
Yeah, Live on Windows.
But you know, people are excited about it. There's a lot of potential there. You see a lot of ideas that are coming up, and this isn't just the basic. You know, let's just pluck the low hanging fruit of hey, let's let people play cross platform,
right?
Which we announced. It's you know, how can we change the sorts of game scenarios you can play? What are the sorts of things we can do in this sort of world where I can share content and be able to start doing things? And to be totally clear, some of these scenarios people have are fantastic ideas, and we just can't support them yet.
Right.
But that also then goes back into our planning, and we say, hey, we've gotten three people who want to do scenario foo.
Mm-hmm.
How do we enable this? Mm-hmm. Well, maybe we can do that by next spring.
Mm-hmm. So you're really, you know, that's what's interesting is you work way out. You know, you're working 6 months, 8 months, 12 months, 2 years in the future.
Yeah, it's about 18 months to 2 years is our planning. You know, that's all. It's kind of a rolling window.
Right.
My job is to be working and going out and talking to folks about the stuff that we're going to be doing in that time frame.
Right.
Because then you have to think about the time it takes to get the stuff built.
Right.
Get the feedback, get it built right. And then finally, just the obvious piece of getting it into developers' hands so they can build on it and actually get into a shipping game.
Yeah. So just to get to your point earlier about live on Windows or whatever it's going to be called, I had Rich Wickham on the show. He was the interview right before this one. And he was talking all about that. He's just really excited about it with Vista. And what's your comments on Vista and as a gaming platform?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And so I'll put something here that might be mildly controversial. I'm a big Mac fan. I mean, I've got a MacBook
Pro. You don't have a MacBook, do you?
Oh, I do. I had it here earlier because my laptop is being repaired.
Right.
But my home laptop's a MacBook Pro.
Right.
And I run Parallels on it. I've got Vista running in there. And,
right.
And I usually have both OSs running at the same time.
I think I'm going to pick one up, probably the next version, probably the next hardware refresh they do.
Yeah.
I'll come back and talk to you about that. But anyway, go ahead.
They're great. But, you know, I have Vista on there, and a lot of the time, so you know how it is when you're traveling, a lot of the time you use what do you call it, Outlook Web Access.
Yeah.
It's like a web interface to get into your email.
Yeah.
It works, surprisingly enough, best with IE,
right,
and not other browsers. So often I'll just go full screen with Vista and literally my MacBook is a Vista machine.
Right. Yeah, that's what a lot of people have said, the MacBook is the best Vista hardware.
Yeah, and you get some odd looks because people come by, see the little glowing at Mac logo. Yeah, I live in Seattle downtown, so obviously you go to coffee shops, do a lot of work, hang out in a corner,
right,
and people get sort of confused. They're like, but that's a Mac. No, wait, it's a Vista machine.
What's going on here?
Wait, how did you get Vista? You know, it wasn't released until recently, obviously.
Right.
Until what? Monday?
Monday.
Yeah. God,
Tuesday,
time flies.
Monday, Tuesday.
So it's been great. I love it. I mean, it reminds me of a lot of the things that I wished Windows had in the past,
right,
that OS X did.
Right.
And now they're basically on par. We're better in some ways, I think.
Right.
OS X could be arguably better in others, but they're very similar. So I think people will be really happy with it.
Yeah. Okay, good. So, well, I know you are jammed, and you got to get to another meeting. So
yep.
I wanted to get you on just because I've been telling you for, God, it's been like months now. I got to get you on the show. So I finally did it. We finally got you on.
Yeah, awesome. This was fun.
I want to have you back on. Of course, you know what you're kind of a brother in blogging in what you do on your website. And again, I'll put a link to that up.
Cool.
But any final words?
Gosh.
I'm leaving you speechless, aren't I?
Yeah, I know. I need to think of something witty and pithy here, and I don't think I'm going to be able to pull it out right now.
Well, you can come back on the show. Can I have you on again in the future?
Absolutely.
Maybe another 6 or 8 months when there's some more controversy going around, because you're always a lightning rod for that.
Yeah, great. Well, you know what I'd love to hear, too, is just what your community is curious to get thoughts on. I mean, it'd be great, just kind of like we do on the blog, get some thoughts about what do you think about this, and let's have a discussion. It'd be fun to argue about it.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe we should get a kind of a little bit of a debate going.
Yeah, maybe GDC. There'll be some news there.
All right, that's a good point. All right, man. I'm going to let you go.
All right, thanks.
I'll talk to you later.
Andre, also known as Ozymandias, and again, depending upon what your point of reference is, you can figure out what that means. But he's, he's got a really interesting job because he's really looking far ahead. I work real closely with he, and he works with our good friends, and we talked about him, Scott Henson, who's been on this show many, many times, and I need to get him back on again. But Scott and Andre work on some really cool stuff, and that, sometimes, I'll go over to their offices and they'll like cover things up and won't let me see stuff. They kind of keep pretty close to themselves, because they're really working on cool future stuff. So that's fun, but I appreciate Andre coming on the show, and I'll get him on in the future. Swing over to his blog and check that out when you get a chance. All right. So we're heading into the third and final act of the show, Graham. And, first of all, we usually kick off this act with a weekly feature that I have, which is, of course, Name the Game. And Name the Game is one of the long running features that I have on this show. I think I've had it on since the very beginning, and it's a real simple game. I play a sound clip from a released Xbox or Xbox 360 game, and you send me an email and you guess what it is. And if I pick out, if I take all the correct answers and I pull out one, and if you get chosen, you win a prize. Very simple, very easy. So here's the Name the Game from the last show. All right, it's a little bit longer this week, but a lot of you got it. That was, of course, Assault Hero. So if you guessed Assault Hero, give yourself a pat on the back. But if you went the extra yardage and filled out an email and sent it to me, give yourself 2 pats on the back. And if your gamer tag is DBLDN, give yourself 3 pats on the back because you're this week's winner. That's right, gamer tag DBLDN. Congratulations. You got yourself a Turtle Beach X1 headset. I'll be sending that out to you, or actually I'll be emailing you first to get more information from you where I could send that. But congratulations, you got yourself that cool headset. So that means we got another Name the Game for this week, and here is the sound clip. All right, if you think you know what that is, send me an email. major@xbox.com is my email address. And in the subject line, please put Name the Game, colon, and then your guess. And in the body, please put your gamer tag if you have one. That's all I need right now. Good luck. Look forward to getting those emails. I'll need to get them before the next show to be eligible. And then I'll get you a cool headset as well. All right, the next part of the program is really Xbox 101, which is a new feature I started a few months ago where I have a lot of new listeners coming on every single day. Every time I do a show, I have new listeners. I want to thank you and welcome you by showing you that there's a lot about the Xbox 360 that you may not know. So in the past weeks, I talked about a lot of different things. And this week, what I want to talk about is media. Now, whether or not you know it, if you have an Xbox 360 in your home network, and maybe you have a Windows PC someplace else, and some Mac software, there is actually Mac software out available to do this as well. I'll have to find it. But you can go up to Xbox.com, and you can get information on how you can take some of the media on your PC that's elsewhere in the house. Perhaps you have your Xbox 360 down in your den or your family room or your gaming room or your palatial home theater. And your PC is kind of at the other end of the house. But as long as they're on the same network, what you can do is you can take some of the music on the PC and stream it to the Xbox 360 while you're playing a game. Now, there's a couple of caveats there. You can't, any of the music that you purchased off iTunes, we can't listen to that because Apple won't let us, won't share the DRM with us on that one. Obviously if you purchase any of the music from some other stores as well. So if you have DRM protected music, it's not going to work, for the most part. But if you rip some CDs or you got some music elsewhere and you want to throw that on your, listen to that while you're playing a game, it's very easy. I'll put a link up to Xbox.com. It will kind of walk you through step by step how to do that. But, you can share your music. You can also share your photos. And I always like to tell guys, or girls for that matter, for your spouse or your significant other, if you want to really get them excited about the Xbox 360, one way
is to play photos and images of you with that significant other, kind of have that rolling on in the background with some cool music, and they'll kind of really get a kick out of that. So you can actually show photos, obviously not when you're playing a game, but kind of use the Xbox 360 as a slideshow and have those images kind of just going through on screen with some cool music playing in the background up on the TV monitor. So that's really kind of easy. I'll put a link on how to do that up on Xbox.com. All the instructions are there. But give it a try. Sharing media from your PC and, again, sometimes your Mac as well to the Xbox 360 is very, very simple. So that's the story there. All right, so let's talk into some technology. Actually, I noticed that I know a lot of people consume a lot of information over RSS. And there's some RSS readers. There's actually a whole knowledge base of what's available up on Microsoft.com, support.microsoft.com with RSS feeds. That's available. So I want to make sure you're aware of that. Let's see what else we have in my notes here. This is actually kind of cool. If you use Firefox, I know a lot of people use Firefox for browsing the web. If you use Firefox, there's a Super Mario 3 add-on that I saw where you can actually kind of skin Firefox to look like, you know, to be all Super Mario 3 style. So check that one out. I got to tell you something. You know, when I travel, I get a lot of phones to test out. And one of the phones that I tested out was the Samsung Blackjack on Singular when I was down in Florida. And I have to tell you, this thing connected to my Windows Vista laptop was amazing. So what I was doing, I was tethering it so that instead of using the hotel broadband, I was using my my 3G connection off the Blackjack to cruise the internet. And it was fat. My wife was logged onto her laptop on the hotel broadband. It was faster than the hotel broadband. So if you're looking at getting a new phone, you may want to look at the Samsung Blackjack, because I got to tell you, that thing is fast and amazing. So one of the announcements, check that out. One of the announcements we made at CES was the home server, which is this kind of fascinating notion of a server that sits in your house. Probably many of you have it set up already, but you can now a product where you can, you know, share and do backups and, you know, have some place to dump all your photos and your music, kind of like what I was talking about a little bit earlier. And then, of course, you know, do backups of the PCs around your house. So Microsoft announced this home server initiative. And I noticed that the home server guys started a blog, and I'll put a link to that. It's at blogs.technat.com/home server. So you should go ahead and check that out. One of the other things, so that's kind of my geeky stuff for this week. I got to see what other gadgets. I haven't really purchased any gadgets lately since I bought my car, so I need to go out and buy some cool gadgets. All right, I want to talk about something that happened while I was away on vacation while my wife was working. I was kind of away with her, but this is a true story. So it basically there was a kind of a funny thing that happened, and if you follow my blog religiously, you'll remember what I'm talking about. And last week, there were some images that were used to promote a Gran Turismo HD for the PlayStation 3 up on a Sony Kinect site, and they unfortunately were using the image of Forza. To a Forza image. Actually, no, it was a PGR3 image. I'm sorry. PGR3 image to basically sell the game. So it was rather amusing. I took a screenshot of it and put it up on Flickr. But that was kind of a funny little oopsie that happened last week. And, you know, you never know what happens. I'm sure it wasn't malicious. I'm sure it was somebody just wasn't paying attention someplace, right? But that got a lot of pickup. When I say a lot of pickup, I mean a lot of pickup. I think I got more... more links to that particular post than pretty much anything for the past month or so. So it was pretty heavy. But what happened was I was actually out in one of the Disney theme parks, and was it E who emailed me? I think it was E. Somebody emailed me and said, "You're not going to believe this." And of course, I couldn't look at it on my phone, and I didn't have a laptop with me. So I I literally ran back to the hotel room and saw this and said, "Oh, this is unbelievable." So I just put a post up on that. All right, so. All right, well, we'll move past that. There's not much more you can say to that. I'm going to wind up the show now. I want to thank my friends at Centricom.net. They provide MajorNelson.com with a secured and assured hosting environment. I also want to thank our good friends at CacheFly for their amazing caching services. They're responsible for you getting this very file and many more just like it quickly and easily when you want it, where you want it, without any problems. So thank you, CacheFly. Thank you, Centricom.net. Next week, I got a pretty good show. I believe I'm going to have Shane Kim on, who is in charge of the Microsoft Game Studios. I'm going to have Shane Kim on and talk to him about some of the upcoming titles.
So pretty excited about that. So, all right, I'm going to wrap it up right now. This is Larry here of Xbox Live's Major Nelson saying thank you for downloading my show. Thank you for visiting my blog at majornelson.com. I want to tell you to have fun, play fair, and send feedback or file a complaint if you're on Xbox Live, and I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. God, it feels good to be back. It was you know, suck being off for a week there, but had a good time with my wife, and of course, going to see some family. That was always good. Ah, boy, that crackdown is addicting. It is addicting in a major, major fashion. I don't even know what to do about that. Hey, I don't know if you know this. I mentioned this a couple of shows, but I make an appearance on a Sirius satellite radio program. It's on Maxim Channel 108 Tuesdays at, I think it's 2:00 Eastern. Don't even know anymore. But we're actually gonna start really getting crazy and serious about that show. So I'm gonna be sometimes I dial in, sometimes we do it over Skype. I'm gonna be doing it over high quality studio. I'm here on the East Coast and the rest of the or West Coast. I wish I was on the East Coast. I'm here on the West Coast and the guys are on the East Coast. And we kind of do it via satellite. So if you get a chance, listen to Sirius Satellite Radio Show, Channel 108 Maxim. Maxim. The show's called Level Up. But I must warn you. If you listen to this show a lot, you know, you've been listening to it for years, you may not gain much out of this show because that show's kind of for beginners. So that's kind of like you talk, this Xbox 101 stuff that I do, you think that's basic. This is like even more basic than that. So, you know, you have to remember, you guys are kind of the advanced doctorates of video gaming, and this is kind of like, you know, junior high school. So just keep that in mind. But if you have somebody that's maybe might be interested in video games, you might want to point them at the show. All right. Let's see. Hey, you know what I picked up? I think I mentioned this before. I picked up Elite Beat Agents, which is I have both the Japanese version now, and then I have this version. So it's a lot of fun. So it's available now. And I also picked up. I talked about this in the show. My mom is into Brain Age, so I found a DS for her up here in Seattle area, and I brought it down with me. And then we had to go buy Brain Age because they didn't have any here. So we ended up going to a gaming store up in St. Augustine, Florida, which is north of Daytona. And, you know, they didn't have it. This is a true story. They didn't have it. But they had a used version. So my mom is like, well, what's a used version? So I kind of introduced her to the whole underground notion of, you know, used video games and how people trade them in to get credit and buy new games. So she's like, okay. So we get home. And for those of you that have played Brain Age, you'll appreciate this. So I get home. You know, I had my Brain Age with me. So, I'm, you know, I was kind of showing my mom how it works. So we get home and I put her, the one I just bought, the used one, into her DS. And she's playing it. And I kind of left her alone in the room, and I go into the other room, and I hear her kind of doing her thing, and, you know, so on and so forth. I come in,
And she's got her brain age down to like 30. And I said, how did you do that? She says, I don't know. I just did, you know, a couple things and it's down to 30. So I snatched the DS out of her hands. And I'm looking at this going, oh, that's really weird. And I go all the way back to the top where you have to sign in, and the name Ignacio is there. And I said, is your name Ignacio, Mom? And she says, no, I don't know what you're talking about. So apparently when we bought the used one, they didn't wipe all the data out. So I had to wipe all the data out. My mom was, her brain age is now not 30. She's working on that. So that's my DS story. Still don't, I'm still Wii-less. Let's continue the count of Major Nelson being Wii-less. Hey, Nintendo people, let's talk. Who's going to bring me over to the Nintendo store? I know I keep talking about this, but no one's calling me. All right, I'm going to wrap it up. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed the show. An hour and a half of fun video game goodness, excitement. And next week, Shane Kim, Microsoft Game Studios. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.